Look beyond your horizon.
Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hi, Dream Big listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I'm really happy to know that you did. So, you know, I always try to let the universe decide what I'm going to talk about. Universe was a little late showing up, but it showed up today, so it was good. And it shows up in ways, you know, how people say if you're going to write a book, write about something you're familiar with or what you know. So this was really good that this popped up. It was talking about, the idea was dealing with pain. And I have been witnessing people in pain of all sorts lately. But what was interesting is the last couple of weeks, my mother-in-law, I've talked about her a million times, and she's 86 and normally can run circles around everyone. Well, she was having back pain. And, you know, I grew up understanding about back pain. My mother had severe back pain for as long as I can remember, and pretty much debilitated her. You know, she's been in a bed for a very, very long time, over 20 years now. But so I thought, and so it was weird. So my mother-in-law, you know, had this back pain and she was going to physical therapy and getting ice on it and everything. And you got to understand, it's like tying a crazy wild animal to a bed and saying, don't move, because she's just always on the move. And, she ended up going to a surgeon, and the surgeon, you know, obviously told her about surgery, things like that. And so she went home and she decided the surgery would have been the last resort, but she took it upon herself to like call a doctor, set it up, get this, an MRI, da, 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 you know, and it freaked all of us out. We're like, no, you're not going to go to surgery right away. And she's like, I am still able to think and for myself. And she said, if I want to set this up as a, you know, precautionary and just be ready. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. Like, that was the way she dealt, one, with her pain, and two, gave herself confidence in, hey, if this is what's going on in my life, this is how I'm going to control it. And I love that. She like didn't give in. She didn't feel sorry for herself. She may have freaked out a little bit, and that's what maybe forced her to do it. But that's the difference in what you do on handling your pain. Some people just give into it. Some people, you know, and I'm this, by the way, anything I say is not judgmental. We're all different. We all deal with it differently. For example, 3 days later, my husband was, we went to Costco and he went to get a box out of the car like he always does. And he tweaked his back. Well, he was in severe pain right away. Isn't it odd that his mom had back pain? And then he did, just saying. And so literally he, you know, said, I said, oh, do you want me to call my physical therapist? Because I've had my physical therapist on this show and he's amazing. And my husband was like, no, I'm fine. No. And so literally the man was walking around in pain, limping, looking like severely, like he just was going to fall over, but refused to do anything about it. And me being the wife and a woman and a mother, you know, of course I was like, you need to do. And he was like, leave me alone and stop taking it personally that I'm not taking your advice. But what I found was crazy is that here he was in this severe pain and he was just going to handle it. But he wasn't handling it. It wasn't getting any better. My mother-in-law's pain got better and now she doesn't have to worry about surgery as of right now anyway. But she took care of it. My husband didn't. So by the fifth, sixth day, you know, I had a show over the weekend and it was an hour away. So he was in a car for an hour and he could not move when he got home. So I put an ice pack on him. He was in like the fetal position. And the next morning he got up. I said, please, can I call the physical therapist? And he was like, fine. So look at those two different things. One, they're related. And those two are like two peas in a pod. Why would one person do one thing one way and another person do something totally different? Granted, and this is, I guess this is going to sound sexist, but I think men do have this, hey, I can get through this. I'm going to power through this. I got this. And in some ways, women are the kind of, all right, how can I plan this out to make this work? And so which way works for you? And the reason I ask this is because, and this is going to sound like I'm hypochondriac, but since I was a little kid, I've always hurt something. I was that kid. I was that kid in the family. And having a father who was a physician, you have to understand, it's like having, you know, a bookkeeper in the house or an accountant. They don't want to do your taxes, okay? And my father didn't want to come home to patients. And I was his biggest patient. I was always breaking something, you know, sliding into second base, breaking an ankle, you know, going up for a layup in basketball, blowing out my knee, one diving into a pool and literally being in a neck brace for a year. You know, but the funny thing was about that pain is that I was telling my parents about the pain and they're like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. And then one day I just literally could not get out of bed and climbed down the stairs. And I remember my dad was reading a newspaper and he saw me crawling on the floor. And this is his bedside manner. He kind of moved the newspaper, looked at me and said, and my mom's name is Judy. He's like, Judy, I guess we better take her to the hospital. And then he kept reading the newspaper. I know therapists are having a field day with this, but the bottom line is that everyone's pain is different. And I tried to live with that too. So one of the things I learned, you know, after my dad passed away, I broke my finger, tore my rotator cuff, you know, all this stuff was going on with me. But when I met my physical therapist, he said, so many people choose to live in pain. They don't realize that you don't have to. And I mean, I walked around with a bum leg for 25 years thinking that I'd never be able to straighten it again until I had surgery in my 60s. Well, my physical therapist fixed it. I can straighten my leg. I can do a 3-hour show like I did last week and still be able to walk the next day. So why do we choose? What are we afraid of in regard to pain? That we could literally choose to help ourselves, but we don't. We feel we have to live in it. And that's where like the Motrin comes in and the Tylenol and the ice and the heat. But what if there were other solutions? Why do we limit our thoughts on curing ourselves? It's just a question. I can't even answer that. I wish I could. But I do know that for me, in my experience, is I just thought that was it. Like I had a screwed up knee. I was told that I had a meniscus tear. I had it removed or whatever. And then somewhere between 19 and in my 50s, I tore my ACL and it's not fixable. And I have bone on bone in my right knee. Okay. So doesn't that sound horrific? It does to me, especially when they were telling me. And I thought, great, I'm going to have to be a gimp the rest of my life. Well, no, I ended up getting physical therapy. And when I would go on the road and tour and sit in a car and barely be able to move, my physical therapist showed me exercises I could do right in the car that would fix it. So it's kind of like school in a way, school for your body. How much do we really know about our bodies? I mean, we know, you know, obviously the minimal stuff. But do we really know what's connected to what? Do we really know what could affect what? Now, I know for me, when my knee would give out on stage, I would always lean more on my left leg because I was afraid I'd fall if my knee gave out, which I did. I literally fell into a drum kit and it was really embarrassing. And so from that moment on, I swore that I would never rely on my right leg. Well, think about what that did to my body. So for the rest of my life on stage, it was used to being in that position and I wondered why I couldn't move the next day. Well, great thing about physical therapists is he showed me how I could stand with my guitar and rely on my leg. And also going to the gym. I don't like going to the gym. I wish I loved going to the gym. I wish I was that girl that looks so good on the treadmill and you can tell she just really enjoys to run. Me, I'm like watching the seconds until I can get off the dang thing. But I also know how I feel after I'm done. So getting back to pain, let's talk about that. What is hurting you in your physical body right now? And I'm assuming some of my listeners are older. Now, young people do too. I mean, my daughter has had injuries from sports and she won't do anything to fix them. Frustrated mother much? Yes, because I know she's going to turn out how I did if she doesn't do things to help herself. So now she is, yes, going to yoga and things like that. But literally, I've watched that girl crack her neck, her fingers, her. I mean, it's weird how she can do these things with her body for relief, which is awesome. But I'm also wondering if it's causing any damage. So pain is interesting. Have you ever had a headache and you walk into a restaurant and it's really loud and you just want everyone to be quiet? Because pain wears on you. It wears on you emotionally, obviously physically, and it can affect your relationships. How do I know this? I had two parents that were in severe pain all the time. My dad had extreme arthritis. My mom had stenosis of the spine. And trust me, when they were in pain, we knew it. We knew it growing up as kids. We knew it as adults. And you can't blame them. My God, you know, pain is really hard on you mentally. So wouldn't it be good if we could fix the pain and fix our brain too? So let's talk about emotional pain. How do we do it with that? How do we deal with emotional pain? Everybody's different, just like physical. Some people barrel through, like me. Emotional pain for me usually means that I'm going to throw myself into work more and not deal with things. But eventually, it catches up to you. So how do you deal with emotional pain? Okay, so we've got some people, friends of mine, family, who deal with emotional pain by numbing it with alcohol or drugs or food. Is that the right way? Is that the wrong way? I'm not here to judge. Everyone's different. I know for me, even emotional in a good way, after every show, if I have an incredible show, I always want chocolate. I have to have a brownie. And it gets to the point that venues know this and they leave brownies for me backstage because they know that's what I want. Why do I do that? I don't know. It's an emotional thing. So for me, I have to figure out emotionally, like today, for example, I had a bunch of things to do before I did my radio show. And all through the night, literally in my sleep, I was going over my to-do list. It was exhausting. I woke up exhausted thinking, I'm not going to pull this off. But I yanked myself out of bed and I had emotional stress. I did. So I was trying to calm myself down by making my to-do list and just staying positive. Isn't that hard though? Sometimes when you're super stressed to stay positive, how do you do it? Well, For one, in the last week, because of the stress that I had, I noticed that I kept feeling like I was going to pass out. I know that sounds extreme, but I hold my breath. Oh my God. I hold my breath so much because I'm thinking so much that I literally forget to breathe. Who forgets to breathe, for God's sake? I apparently do. And when I was a little kid, my mom told me that when I would get upset, I was one of those kids, me and my older sister, that we would cry to the point that we would pass out. Isn't that horrible? What a horrible thing for me to do to my mother. I think that's terrible. But my father, being the physician and that beautiful bedside manner kicked in, I apparently it was like not a temper tantrum per se, but this is just what I did. So finally, my mom would always try to like stop me from doing it. And then one time he just said, he pulled her back. He said, let her go. And my mom was like, what? And literally I passed out and it must have scared me enough. I never did it again. And so think about that. So here I am at the age I am, and I'm still somewhat doing that. When I'm getting upset, I'm holding my breath. So here's my cure for myself with my pain. Breathe. I literally put signs around me. Jill, don't forget to breathe. And what's a really good way of doing that? Well, yoga Yoga is incredible. My sister sent me this thing the other day, and it said when you wake up in the morning, take 5 deep breaths. Oh my gosh, it really works. So now I don't just do it when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes if I'm in the car and I'm feeling like, you know, my to-do list is getting too crazy, or traffic's terrible, or something's upsetting me that someone said or did in my life, I go back to that. I take 5 deep breaths. It is amazing what breathing can do for you. And did you ever, you know, when you hurt yourself and people are like, just breathe, just breathe. And breathing into pain, breathing into physical pain, really works. Like when you're doing yoga and you're in some weird position and you're like, oh my God, are we going to be here forever? The yoga instructor always says, breathe into it, breathe into the pain. Well, how about doing that for mental and physical? It really works. Isn't that great? We have this thing right here. We all have it. It's breath. It's so simple, but yet we don't always access it. We do obviously to stay alive, but for example, when I decided when I was pregnant with my daughter that when it came time to give birth, you know, I don't like to put a lot of foreign substances in my body. So, and especially when I was carrying another human being, you know, I grew up in a medical family. If you stubbed your toe, they'd hand you a pill. You know, I didn't want that as I got older. So when I decided to, when it came time to give birth to Emma, I said, I want to just meditate through the delivery. So I made everyone be quiet in the room. And by the way, my whole entire Polish family wanted to be present when I gave birth. I was not into that thought, but I let them sit for a little while. But the number one thing, and you try and do this with a bunch of Polish people, is I told them they couldn't say anything. If they were going to be in there, they had to be quiet. So I had a sister sitting on the floor. My dad would come in. It was really hard for him to be quiet. But even the nurses and doctors, the nurse was really respectful. Doctor, not so much. He came in. He's like, what's going on in here? I thought somebody was having a baby. I don't hear any screaming. But I knew that I just wanted to meditate. And it was amazing. I have to say how much I learned about myself that during contractions and just breathing and meditating, I actually meditated a vision of a little girl and myself, and I didn't know what I was having, but we were walking down a beach and she was holding my little pinky finger. This was my vision. And then when the contractions came through, I pictured that as a wave. And she had little blonde ringlets in my vision. Well, the birth was difficult, but it was so much, I think, less stressful. And I think the less stress I put on my body, the easier it was for me to handle the pain. Think about that. If you put less stress on yourself, physically and mentally, you can actually get through the pain easier. So here I was, I gave birth, everything was great. And it was a girl, and I was so happy. Fast forward 2 years, my husband at the time, we were in Florida, walking down the beach. He had his video camera going, and I have my daughter, and she's holding on to my pinky finger, and she's got blonde curls. And I turned around and looked at him and was bawling my eyes out. I was like, this was my vision. He had no idea what I was talking about. He's just like, whatever. But it just reminded me, and it also reminded me how strong I was. Now, in that sense, let's talk about that. How many of you are parents out there? And how many times when your children get hurt, you're like, no, don't cry. You're good. You're good. Just get up. I always wonder about that. Why do we tell our children not to express their feelings when they hurt themselves? I have a friend whose husband is a coach. And it's basically like, there's no crying in baseball, you know? And I just wonder what happens to their emotions. Where do they go? If you tell them, don't cry, why is that? And then for the rest of our lives, women are trying to get men to express themselves. Does anyone see the correlation here? I don't know if it's right or wrong. I know that when my daughter's been hurt before and she's cried, and I'm like, you're okay. I think it's our first instinct to just be like, one, I think it soothes ourselves to be like, are they okay? They're going to be okay. And then you want to support them in the sense that it's not as bad as you may think. In other words, if you fell, you didn't break anything, so you're okay. But what if we allowed people to express their feelings of their pain? Then maybe people would express, you know, really admitting that they're in pain, and maybe someone could help them with their pain or suggest how to help them with their pain. And maybe just someone talking about their pain would relieve some of their pain. How many times did I say pain just then? But I, you know, I just wonder about that. So one of the things I saw on a site, it was psychcenter.com, and they were saying how people handle, you know, pain and suggestions of going through this. Now this goes to physical or mental, as far as I'm concerned. So guess what was number one? Breathing. Imagine that. So let's say you are running and, you know, you're doing your normal run during the day and you pull a muscle. Okay, what's the first thing? You start swearing, you scream, whatever. If no one's watching, or if someone's watching, you try to play it off. But the first thing is you have to breathe. Your breathing actually probably increases. But if you calm your breathing down and you breathe into the pain, I guarantee you the results will be really, I mean, they may not be phenomenal, but you'll definitely kind of gather your senses a little bit more. The other one was yoga. Yay. Exercise. Okay. Prayer, which I thought was really good. Prayer works for me. And then this other thing that says, you know, as far as if you're in mental pain or even in physical pain, you pursue hobbies to keep your mind off things. So let's say you're held up with mono. I don't know. I just use that because I remember my daughter got it and she was in the house for a month. You know, knitting, painting. I find that when I paint or just take markers and doodle, all of a sudden I can feel like my pulse rate drop. I can feel a calm sense over me. So do something that distracts you. That's not saying you're not dealing with it. You're actually helping yourself in a positive way. And then the last one, which I think is the hardest, and that is positive attitude. But I know I have a dear friend who has battled with leukemia for 25 years. He has been on his deathbed more than anybody I know. He's actually has been a guest here in the Empower Studios. Right now, he is fighting for his life again because he had an embolism. But his attitude is ridiculous. It is so positive. He has like 14 lives as far as I'm concerned. When I had a breast cancer scare in 2005, he called me every day and left me a voicemail. Live, live, live. There's scientific proof that with a positive attitude, we can battle illnesses. You actually change the chemical makeup of your brain, which then, of course, helps with everything else that goes on in your body. So while outside, it looks like there could be things, you know, like physical therapy, absolutely, like therapy in itself for mental pain, food, drugs, alcohol, all those things outside are available to all of us. We also have a choice that we can start from within. So when you're dealing with pain, whether it be physical or mental, go inward first. Be good to yourself. You know, we take care of others so much in our lives. And I always have this common thread in all my podcasts here. And that is, if we start within ourselves, like they always say, put the oxygen mask on you first. I mean, think about it, you guys. That's really, really good thought. Put the oxygen mask on yourself today. Do something good for yourself today. Positive thinking. And then it will emulate. You will actually share it. It will be a ripple effect within, you know, whoever you come in contact with. So I'm going to leave you with that today. Thanks for tuning in. Dream big, and I'll talk to you next week.